When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, Key.
Hey.
I like that shot when we come in. Is that the same shot every day, or did I just notice it? Where the building says welcome and we zoom in on ESPN 2. You see, you know, the sun's just barely rising. And it says welcome. Nuno, who Yates, someone. Does anyone know? Is that our shot every day? I like that.
I don't think it's a shot every day.
It's good. Welcome. It's nice. Not bad. I mean, I never even noticed that before. Living in the city my whole life. Never noticed that before. That must be new. Key, how you doing? How have you been since last we spoke yesterday?
Man, I'm going to have to power through this morning.
Oh, is that right?
That's okay.
One of those.
Yeah. I got caught in a trap, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I had a birthday dinner that I had to go to. So mm-hmm. I rested up a little bit yesterday. Then I go to the birthday dinner last night. And
what time did dinner start?
I think I looked at my watch and I was probably eating about 9 o'clock.
Oh, no respect for people's schedules.
And everybody's there. You know, I didn't drink or anything. I just straight water.
Just so people understand, if Key is looking at his clock and it says 9, you have to understand, if he were to fall asleep at that moment, now he's at dinner. He's not at home. He's at dinner. In L.A., you got to get in the car, drive back, the whole thing. Food hasn't come yet, right?
You don't even understand.
If you went to sleep at that moment, you would get 4 hours sleep.
You don't even know. No. You don't understand, Max.
Yeah.
So, 7 o'clock I arrive.
Yeah.
You know, we sit down at 7:15.
Yeah.
They do a good job by bringing apps out. You know, it's pretty fast as far as that goes. Then it slows down. Mm-hmm. And then it's the cocktails are flowing, and they're laughing, and everybody's, chummy up. So I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, my phone, I'm pushing it to, okay, boom, 8:30. I'm looking, I'm like, man, food is. So it finally comes out, so I'm eating it, whatever. And then you're talking some more. The cake's still got to come out, talking some more. So finally get up out and to leave, it's probably about 9:45. Mm-hmm. So now we get up and go to valet because it's a hotel restaurant, so you know how crazy that could be.
Yeah.
You got to deal with valet. And on top of that, it's on Sunset Boulevard,
okay,
and it's raining. So now you're waiting an extra 30. So I finally get in the car. I get home probably around 11-something.
And you're Sunset, so you're 15. Way east of the 405, right?
Yeah.
You're but way I went east through, of the 405. You're Laurel in Hollywood, Canyon. Probably.
Yeah, I went through Laurel Canyon to come back around to the 101. But I finally, Max, I get home, I lay it down, 11-something. I'm like, oh, man, this is ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense.
You were going to have to power through.
But I did a stretch, and then I actually had, at dinner, I had a couple shots of, like, really black coffee deal or
espresso.
Whatever. Espresso, and they put like a sugar cube in it. So they were like, just drink this. You know, they went out. I went home. Everybody else went to the little membership club, and I was, yeah, so I'm good.
I got 6 hours last night for the first time in a long time. I've been much less than that because I got everything done. I had to do the whole thing. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna watch the Yankees and go to bed, right? Look down. I said, let me check the score real quick. I figured it's probably about the second or third inning. Sure enough, it was, I want to say, the third inning. Yankees were losing 11-0. I'm like, okay, I'm skipping that. to bed.
No, I'm fine.
So, meantime, while you were up way too late and I was skipping the Yankees game, Josh Harris, the sources say Josh Harris has a non-exclusive deal to buy the Commanders. Washington Commanders owner Dan and Tanya Snyder have reached a preliminary non-exclusive agreement to sell the Washington Commanders to a group led by Josh Harris, who I mentioned his name so you know who he is. He co-owns teams in the NBA and NHL. The selling price, as a punishment for bad Dan Snyder, who didn't want to sell his team, he's going to be forced to take this $6 billion. It's $6.05 billion. That ought to show him. Sources told ESPN's all this information to ESPN's Adam Schefter on Thursday. The non-exclusive deal is fully financed but not signed, meaning another group could still come in and buy the team, meaning $6.05 billion might not be the sale price. Let's wait and see if that goes up. Any deal also has to be submitted and approved by league owners, which also means, I suppose, it could go down, right, if the owners don't approve it. The that ain't going to happen. The $6.05 billion tops
so
the
– Max.
Yeah.
What's the 05? How much is that? Because I can't 50, count that high.
50 mil, right? Because if it's 6.1 would be 100 million, so 6.05, 50 million.
Yeah, he can slide that our way. We chop that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Josh, what are you doing? Just let's call it an even. Said Key and I will take 25. Matter of fact, we're gonna have to cut Jay in. Yes, we'll take 16 2/3 million each. So the 6.05 billion tops the previous record sale for a franchise that had been set in August. You want to talk? You want to talk about appreciating? Equity in the NFL, Key. They just set the record in August. Walmart heir Rob Walton led a group to buy the Denver Broncos for 4.65. Just like that, you blink. And I understand it's a real estate deal, too, so the real estate in Washington, D.C. is going to be more expensive than the real estate in Denver. I get it. But 4.65 is the record. You blink, 6.05 if the deal goes through. So what does it mean, do you think, Key, for the NFL, just like the NBA finally got rid of Donald Sterling, right? I'm not saying Dan Snyder's as bad as Donald Sterling was, but he kind of inherited the mantle as the worst owner in sports. If Donald Sterling was still around, I think he'd be champ, and Dan Snyder would be his number one or two contender. But Donald Sterling's gone. What does it mean for the NFL to move on from this guy?
I can't separate them that much, though, Max, right?
It's close.
I really can't, because from a communicational standpoint and audio, obviously, Donald Sterling, we really haven't heard Daniel Snyder. So, I'm just saying.
Good point.
That's all I'm saying. This is huge for the National Football League. It's huge for the Washington Commanders fan base. It's huge for all NFL fans, all women. I mean, the organization, they get an opportunity now, Max, to get to try and change the entire culture in Washington for this football team, the building alone, right? Now people within the organization that's still around, they don't have to walk on eggshells anymore. They now have potentially someone who understands how to run the sports franchises in Harris. And along with that, one of his partners is Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson partnered the Los Angeles Dodgers, owns the Sparks, you name it. We can keep going on and on about championship caliber people, but also knowing how to run business and treat people a certain way. You get rid of the stench that's been a part of this organization since Dan Snyder took over in 1999. I think when you talk about everything that has gone on, from the sexual harassment lawsuits to the ticket scandal, I mean, just all the bad things that have gone on since Daniel Snyder has been a part of the National Football League. If you go back to his original press conference, he talked about how they're going to win championships and this is going to be great for the league and all of those sort of things, to the point where you fast forward from there and he's talked about he's not changing the name ever from the Washington Redskins. He's never doing that. Well, he eventually backed down several years later and wind up having to change the name. You look at the history of the Washington football team at the time, or Washington Commanders, and it had three names. It goes all the way back to 1932, where George Preston Marshall III, who was awarded the Redskin football team, was a major bigot and racist individual. He was a supporter of racial segregation. He was the last owner to integrate, and he was only forced, Max, to do so because of the Kennedy administration. They said, hey, if you don't started allowing African-American players to play for you, and this was in the 1960s, we would not allow you to build a stadium. So eventually he caved in on that side. So it's almost like that whole situation in Washington had this dark cloud on over them, and now it seems to be lifted. I hope he's rolling over in his grave now that Magic Johnson is part owner of the team, or could potentially be part owner of the team. But this has been a long, just dark, dirty situation that the NFL seems to be able to get rid of now.
By the way, for those who would say, well, back in those days, you know, until recently, people weren't as sensitive to the previous name as they were, which is a slur for Native Americans. They're blah, blah, blah. I was 8 years old, Key. That's really when I started. Other than the Steelers, I knew who the Steelers were because of Mean Joe Green in the commercials, and they won the Super Bowl every year, Steelers. But when I really started following football, right, that was the last sport I started following, the boxing, baseball, basketball, football, right? So now I'm starting to follow football, and I look, and you know, the name of the team is there, and I turn to my father. I think it was the Super Bowl. And I turn to my father, and I say, hold on, Dad, they can call them that? Why? That's the name of the team? I was 8 years old, okay? So you're going back to 1981, and an eight-year-old could look and go, oh, yeah, I don't know about that one. And my dad tells me, well, they really shouldn't, but yeah, they do. Like, how do they get, why is that the name? So, like, this whole thing about pleading ignorance, no. And by the way, if you did, if you just really weren't aware of how absurd it was to call a team that, it's okay. You just didn't know, and now you realize that's fine. But there are still people dug in on stuff like that, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to have people dig in on stuff like that that doesn't have the wits and the smarts that others have. Some people just are oblivious to things in life because they want to be.
I guess, because Dan Snyder has billions and billions, and he was dug in until he was forced, until his hands were forced.
Because he wanted to be, though. But now, hopefully the Josh Harris situation goes through on a non-exclusive deal to buy the Commanders, and we don't really necessarily have to talk about Daniel Snyder anymore. But everything that they're under, those investigations that they're still under, still stay in play, even though there's a potential sale that can be signed off on around, I believe, the month will be in the month of May after the draft for Josh Harris and his group to take over.
Well, it's good news for the NFL. And, you know, by the way, it's also good news for Dan Snyder. The fact is he's being forced as a punishment almost to accept billions.
You know how much money he bought the team for, though,
what
Max?
Hundred. It doesn't start with a B, probably.
$880 million.
Yeah.
And he's going to sell it for a little bit
over
six.
Times as much as he paid, basically.
So, yeah, it was like somewhere in the 700 percentile.
Yeah. Yeah, seven something.
What a return. Now, he's got some debt and stuff, I'm sure, but
I wish someone would punish me like that. Do you really believe that Odell, because this is according to Odell at the press conference yesterday, he said he received no assurances from Lamar before signing with the Ravens. But first, a message from FanDuel. And I'm going to tell you all about FanDuel, Key. Don't you worry about it. Or are you going to tell us about it? Someone's going to tell us about FanDuel.
I can tell you. You need it? You don't have it?
I don't have it.
Okay. Grand slams, no hitters, double plays are back. And there's no better place to get in on MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, new customers can set up at the plate with the no-sweat first bet to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/play to sign up. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to the ESPN app. It's on your phone already. Scroll down to live radio. Take us with you. Odell Beckham Jr. Odell spoke to the media, the press conference yesterday around 1 o'clock, I think it was, in the afternoon. Or, Key, as you would say, 1 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. Odell Beckham Jr. Like, you'll do the p.m. and then also the afternoon. Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver now, it appears, of the Baltimore Ravens. Listen to what he said. He was asked if he was given any assurances that Lamar would be on the team.
Didn't get any assurances for anything. You know, life's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. We only know what's happened in the past. So to me, it just was excited about the possibility of that. You know, my thoughts would be that he would be here. I know that these two want him to be here. You know, at the end of the day, that's going to be up to them.
Key, you know what's so funny? The truthful answer is, come on, man. These dudes were offering me a guarantee twice as big as anyone else. Plus, they might have Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. But it wasn't all about the money. I think he's at a place in his career, in his life, where money is important, but more so the respect. And when somebody wants you versus having you is a different situation. They really wanted him. So they it's like, he's not a luxury item for them. So you feel good about somebody really wanting you. I've gone through this in my career, at the end of my career, where – I felt like, well, they just want me because I'm cool. But another team, they need me. They feel me. So I signed with them, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Odell is at. And along the way, like you said, he may get the opportunity to play with one of the most dynamic players that we've seen in recent memory at the quarterback position. So it's kind of like he can get both.
Yeah, best of all worlds, potentially. I'm just saying, like, I get it if it's, you know, someone's offering him 12, this one's offering him 15. But let's say, which may have been the case, right? It's more likely the best guarantee was in the 8 to 10 range.
Then again, I need to see the rest of the deal.
Right. To know if it's a real 15 or, as you would say, a fake 15. Yeah,
I get it. I need to just see the rest of it and how it's structured in the whole deal. Nevertheless, they made him feel wanted. They wanted him to be a part of what they're doing and where they're trying to go. The fan base. Keith Williams, a guy who works with the receivers. I could see him helping along with the recruiting and getting – Odell, from a mental standpoint, right? There was probably no rush on their part saying, you got to be ready by this day. I mean, all of those sort of things just feels good. And he gets an opportunity to stick it to Cleveland at least twice a year, maybe even three times if he sees him in the playoffs. So all of those sort of things you got to pay attention to. Now, do I believe that he had no real conversation with Lamar about whether or not Lamar is going to come? Of course not. Of course he did. He talked to Lamar about it, but Lamar didn't assure him. Yeah, man, I'm coming. Lamar said, man, I really don't know. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what they say. And Lamar didn't say, man, don't go to there. He didn't do that. Lamar basically signed off on it, but at the same time, told him, said, I don't know. I can't assure you that I'm gonna come back. I can't assure you I'm not gonna sit out. I can't do any of those sort of things. You got to make this choice on your own. And Odell Beckham made the choice with the hope that he could wind up playing with Lamar.
You know, it's crazy. You know, Lamar's never really had a great receiver to throw to who's not a tight end. Because the franchise is a little bit snake bit in terms of the receiver position, right? They've drafted guys who haven't panned out or been hurt. But you know what? Rashad Bateman, let's just assume he's not going to be hurt every year of his career. And it turns out, because what is he? Is he a one? Is he a two? I mean, he is. He's what, about 6'2"? Like, he can do a lot of things well, even if not one thing jumps out at you. But, like, maybe he's a one. And if he's healthy this year, now he's got a couple years in and around the league, and Odell can stay healthy, just like that, if Lamar comes back, he goes from never really having that dude at receiver, he might have two of them. He might have two of them if it breaks his way.
Well, what they get is they get a wise veteran, an old wizard at the wide receiver position. And Odell's not old on his last leg or anything like that. He's just a wizard at knowing how to get open, do certain things, run certain routes. They get a constant professional. And in football and sports in general, you need real pros. People think that they're pros because they got a logo on and they wear something on the side of their helmet and they wear a jersey and they come out the tunnel. That doesn't mean just because you play professional sports that you are a professional, that you carry yourself like a professional. You're the first one in, last one out. You're in the weight room on time. You're eating right. You're getting the proper rest. You're doing all the right things. Odell can give them that. He can teach them how to warm up, how to run routes. It's just so much value to getting a guy like Odell inside of that locker room, despite what people might think of his character or who he is.
I wanted to we'll get to it a little later in the show, but did you hear what Ben Roethlisberger said about Lamar? We're going to get to that. I want your reaction on this one, Key. And then you got to hear what Bill Barnwell wrote in a comparison of Roethlisberger to Lamar. You might imagine where this is going, but stay tuned.
He said, meantime, she said.
What's that?
He said, she said.
Odell Beckham Jr. was asked about whether he was concerned or not about the uncertainty, since Lamar didn't give many assurances, right? He said that. But so are you concerned, Odell, with the uncertainty at quarterback?
I mean, if you look at the other situations I was going into, everything was uncertain. Like I say, life's uncertain. Obviously, I would assume that it's going to work out, that faith and that hope. Lamar, I know if you're watching, I would love to get to work with you. I'll talk to these guys over here, and, hopefully that gets done. You know, I think about the Ravens, you definitely think about Lamar, and I know that that's something, I was excited about that possibility, and life's not certain.
Key, we're gonna get into Big Ben and his critique of Lamar and whether or not he's right, and then what Bill Barnwell had to say when he weighed in about it. I have one question for you before we go to break. Quick answer, okay? If Bateman and Odell are healthy next year, and Lamar comes back, could the Ravens win a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. With Duvernay in there and Andrews, of course.
888-SAY-ESPN. 729-3776. What is the Ravens' upside if Lamar comes back to these receivers? And coming up, Big Ben offers his critique of Lamar, but is he right, KJM?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
KJM, ESPN Radio. So, Key, I was teasing it last segment. Ben Roethlisberger weighed in on Lamar Jackson. Shannon, let me see where, so I can credit the right places and everything. Just scroll up on the screen a little bit. No. Okay, there we go. Sorry, Nuno, I called you Shannon. So here's Big Ben's critique on the podcast of Lamar Jackson. I'm gonna read it to you, Key. I'm gonna quote.
Oh, I thought you were gonna play it. Okay, go ahead, read it.
With Lamar, you want to bring safeties down to help stop the run. You don't really fear Lamar's accuracy all the time. He's got a huge arm. He can make things happen when he scrambles, but you don't fear him just sitting in the pocket and picking you apart. So you bring safeties down because you do fear him running because he's a different level runner, so you fear that. But now, if you've got that guy on the outside, you better put a safety back, or it's one-on-one. You can just throw it to him. So it definitely creates some potential opportunities for that offense and for Lamar to run if he has to, or to take those big shots down the field if he needs to, if they bring those safeties down. So, Key, I'm going to give you some quick thoughts, and I want to read you Bill Barnwell's response, and I want to hear what you have to say about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough because you're allowed to critique a player. Even if the player, because we know what stereotypes have been in the NFL that have kept black players from playing quarterback, right? And Lamar Jackson, and then it becomes a thing where, well, yeah, he can run, but can he beat you with his arm from the pocket, right? And you want to push back against that where it's not true. And yet you also have to be able to evaluate what you see. And so Roethlisberger may see that and genuinely think that, and that's his critique. However, on this show, we like to, and Key, this started with a segment that we were doing, that you were doing, what was it? Not myth or reality. What do we used to call it? Brand or reality, something like that. You know, you can get branded a certain way. It may not be reality. So Bill Barnwell has ESPN passer rating in the pocket data back to 2009. Our very own Bill Barnwell here at ESPN. Lamar Jackson's pocket passer rating between 2018 and 2022, his whole career basically, is 97.9. Ben Roethlisberger's pocket passer rating, and it's over a much larger sample size, which includes his decline. However, for his career, from 09 at least till 21, 94.2. Lamar's is higher. But if you want to use QBR because it's more accurate, Key, as an indicator of, you know, it paints a better picture, Lamar Jackson still's got him. Better in the pocket than Roethlisberger, 64.9. to 63.4 for Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger didn't evaluate himself. Maybe he would say, yes, I also have problems, but that's certainly not his reputation. What do you think about all this?
Well, I would think Ben would – well, first of all, I'm going to put this out there. They were in the same division as far as organizations and teams go.
Right,
rivals. So let's start there. Then I would think that Ben Roethlisberger would understand that when you talk about the safeties coming down and playing in an 8-man box, 9-man box, however you want to count up the numbers, it's not because of Lamar. It's because of the style of offense in which they played under Greg Roman. Okay? They are a run heavy base offense. Anybody that knows, see, that's the slick stuff with people when they get to talking. They don't give you all of it, they just give you a little bit. It's been a run base heavy offense as long as I can remember with the Baltimore Ravens. Play defense, run the football. I don't care what quarterback they had, whether it was a Joe Flacco or whether it was a Lamar, whether it was a Kyle Bowler. I mean, I can just go on and on and on. That's just what they did. Elvis Gerback, Trent Dilfer, heavy run-based offense. When Lamar has the opportunity to take the shots and push the ball down the field, he's done some stuff as a young quarterback. Then we got to remember, he is relatively still young. So young quarterbacks aren't all that accurate to begin with, especially when you're out there playing with depleted receivers that can't help you when the target is not in the catch radius. If you're slightly off, those guys struggle. And so over time, as Lamar continues to throw the football, he's going to get better. Tom Brady wasn't as accurate in the early stages of his career, but you could say he turned out pretty damn accurate. He didn't come in like a Joe Montana, just slicing and dicing accuracy. I could point to many quarterbacks that wasn't accurate like that early in their careers. And you look at it, it's not because Lamar can't do it. is because Lamar hasn't been allowed to do it on a consistent basis. You know, and it's just funny to hear Ben Roethlisberger critique it that way, because he should know better. He should know, as a football player that's fresh off the field, the offensive style in which the Ravens play. He should know that.
So, Key, I want to go back to something I've done on this show before and read an article by Warren Sharp, who I like a lot, Sharp Analytics. You know, I like the analytics. He wrote this in 2019 in an article titled, and by the way, he consults for, at this point, it used to be several. I believe it's, at this point, it's fair to say many NFL teams, right?
Getting a check.
Yeah. And there's a reason he consults. It's not because he doesn't know what he's doing. It's not because it doesn't work, right? Let's put it that way. So he wrote the article titled, "You Are Wrong About Lamar Jackson." This is 2019. Of 45 first-round quarterbacks drafted since Peyton Manning with at least 150 attempts their rookie season, Lamar Jackson posted a higher yards per attempt and a better passer rating in his rookie season than these quarterbacks drafted above him over the last several years. Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Sam Bradford, Carson Palmer, Peyton Manning, Carson Wentz, Mitch Trubisky, Sam Darnold, just to name a few. And then he goes on to give you like list after and stat after stat. Lamar at a young was a better passer, a more successful passer at a younger age than almost anyone who ever lived. Right.
Wait,
now here's
Max, yeah. Read that list again.
Okay, I got it. Andrew Luck, first overall. Jared Goff, first overall. Sam Bradford, first overall. Carson Palmer, first overall. Drafted. Peyton Manning, drafted first overall. Carson Wentz, drafted second.
Ding.
Mitch Trubisky, drafted second.
Ding.
Sam Darnold, drafted third, just to name
a few. And all those dudes supposed to be first one here, last one out the building, studyaholics. They just got all the pocket awareness, and they're going to slice and dice you up. But his numbers, according to what you said, are better.
That's right. Higher yards per attempt and a better passer rating than those
people
guys.
But people will sell you, if you buy it, that he cannot throw the football.
Well, now,
but those guys can.
There are a couple different things. One, at a young age, just because you're at a certain pace, it doesn't mean you develop on a trajectory that makes you better than all of them forever. Some guys can pass you if they develop, continue to develop.
Absolutely.
But here's my point. This was an article from 2019. We're in 2023. And Lamar Jackson has never been given the alpha wideout. Right?
Never.
Look at Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. And, as you brought up the other day, Kyler Murray, who are similar style quarterbacks. You can design runs for them. They are a big part of their own team's ground game. Okay. At the right moment, they bring in Stephon Diggs. And what happened with Josh Allen? He took the next step.
Absolutely.
Kyler Murray got DeAndre Hopkins. He took the next step.
Absolutely.
Jalen Hurts especially. I kept Key, he wasn't seeing the middle of the field. They got him A.J. Brown. It changed everything. He became a great
player.
So
got him,
they've
AJ
never
Brown.
Done that for Lamar. They just haven't.
They got him A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith continued to develop as an NFL receiver. So you get better. That's just the reality of it. When you surround guys with playmakers at the receiver position, they get better. It's not a weird. So when the Jets drafted Zach Wilson, they eventually then went and got Garrett Wilson, right, to try to get him a young dude that could play. They realized
just ain't in there for Zach.
It's just not there.
What it is?
That's what happens. They go, it doesn't matter.
Jalen Hurts.
It doesn't matter. But you put Mike White in, he looks different. You know what I'm saying? Garrett Wilson looks all of a sudden. Okay, he's going to be rookie of the year because the other quarterback can't play. But when you don't have playmakers around him, now part of it is when you get Duvernay's hurting and then you get Rashad Bateman hurting, on top of playing in that offensive style, the receivers can't develop. They
can't. Right, because it's a three tight end set most of the time, right, for a lot of his career. So
it ain't even really all on the receivers like we sometimes make it.
Yes, yeah, the coaching scheme,
yes,
basically, right? Okay,
absolutely.
So now they bring in Odell. Bateman, I hope, knock wood, not going to be hurt his whole career, right? Now the question is, if Odell and Bateman can stay healthy, even if between them they can put together a whole season, What is the ceiling for the Baltimore Ravens if Lamar Jackson comes back and plays quarterback this year for them? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
John J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What's the Ravens' ceiling if Lamar Jackson comes back and plays with this team that now features Odell Beckham Jr. and Rashad Bateman in the receiving core? And by the way, they even picked up Aguilar. They picked up some guys in the offseason.
Who else did they pick up?
Nelson Aguilar.
Oh, that's right, Nelson Aguilar.
Like, they have a competent receiving core, but in addition to that, they have Odell and Bateman, who, if they stay healthy, who's to say they're not both kind of, even if you think, oh, are they ones or twos at this point in Odell's career, Bateman's career? But that's really good to have two guys like that.
Look, they got a comparable receiving core. When you talk about Duvernay and Bateman and Nelson Aguilar, Nelson Aguilar is, he's a nice little player, catches some passes.
He's an NFL receiver.
And then you got OBJ. That's just pretty good.
A little extra. He was the best player on either team on the field in the Super Bowl when last season.
That's a pretty good receiving core. I wouldn't shy away from them. I wouldn't look at them and go, oh, chop liver.
Right. And I think it has a potential to be really good if those two guys can stay healthy, Bateman and Beckham.
If they can run the ball and do what they do, they got a pretty good ceiling, I would say, Max.
Could they win the Super Bowl? I think yes.
You know,
they win almost every game he plays, Key.
I got to process it for 10 seconds. I think they can. I'm not going to say they can't.
Don in Pennsylvania, what's the Ravens' ceiling if Lamar comes back to this team?
Super Bowl all the way, and Lamar Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, you would imagine he would be. He's the whole offense.
That would hurt a lot of feelings if he was a Super Bowl MVP.
You think so?
Oh, my God, yes. You know how many people would be like, you know how many people already? We had Jeremy Fowler on. What was he, the 13th best quarterback in the league?
I have a prediction, by the way.
So what if he went and won the Super Bowl and became Super Bowl MVP?
Well, Fowler's just saying that's what the executives are saying, yeah.
No, I get it. I said hurt a lot of people's feelings. Yeah. That would be the executives.
Right.
They would be.
Over the years, too. Not just like just recently two guys told him. It's what he can gather. Over. By the way, remember Lamar turned pro?
He ran the ball. That's the only reason why he won the MVP.
Whatever. Yeah, they're going to start to take credit away. It's not a full Super Bowl. When he entered the league, there were those who said he should play receiver, change positions, which is the age-old thing with black quarterbacks. I mean, Warren Moon had to leave the NFL because they wanted him to be a receiver. He couldn't break in the league as a quarterback. Key?
I think at the time, Bill Polian.
Bill Polian wasn't the only guy.
No, but Bill Polian was the famous
one. Yeah.
His was out there out front.
Yeah, I'm not going at Bill Polian right now, but Key.
No, I was going to say he preferred a certain style quarterback, right. So I understand. I get it.
Key, Odell Beckham Jr. can throw the football. He can legit, he could throw the football with his left hand 50 yards, okay? You mean to tell me they get to the Super Bowl, there's not going to be some kind of trick play where Lamar actually maybe makes that prophecy come true and catches a big pass from Odell Beckham? You can do a lot when you have great football players on the team.
Most likely, if they were to make the Super Bowl, he would be the MVP? Most likely.
Right.
Because anytime players that are star, very rarely, now think about the Super Bowl MVPs, very rarely do you see a team that has a star quarterback and they win not be the MVP.
Right.
Think about it.
He's also their running back, so, you know.
Yeah, he's also their running back. But think about it, though. When you go through the MVPs in the Super Bowl, outside
Ben Roethlisberger never won the MVP of the Super Bowl.
I didn't say that. You did.
I know. You just said.
No, I'm just saying. I wasn't even going to go there. I laid it out. I set it up for you. You knocked it out the park.
Oh, thank you.
See how that was? That works? That's magic.
I can't really take credit for that one.
And so, in the end, I can see him winning the Super Bowl. Because star quarterbacks, and he's a star, when they go to the Super Bowl and they win, they usually get the MVP.
Lamar, it's not too late to become a receiver. Evan in Minnesota, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to first tell you guys you have the chemistry of the Mike and Mike show that I grew up watching.
Oh. Thank you very much.
But
who's
the
Mike?
Ceiling for the
which one of us is Mike?
For the the ceiling for the Ravens, I got to say, is the same as the Philadelphia 76ers for this NBA season. It's going to be tough for them to win, but they have the talent to do it.
Yeah. I see that. I hear that. In other words, they're one of the teams you can't, even if you don't pick them, you can't count them out. I hear that. Melvin in Kansas City, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Hey, Keyshawn. A long time listener, first time caller. Now, every team at the beginning of the season has a chance of winning the Super Bowl. But before Lamar and them can get to the Super Bowl, they have to win the Arrowhead Invitational. And you know where that lies in Kansas City, Missouri, home of the draft.
Now,
I know you guys have to have content, but until Patrick Mahomes stops doing what he's doing, then you guys need to talk about can the Ravens get past the Chiefs.
That's oh, yeah, you got to go to Kansas. You're right. But
that's fair. Yeah. But at Kansas City. No, that's fair, Mel. Of course. We're not as Max would say, parachuting them into Las Vegas. We're not doing that. All we're saying is they have the ability and the makeup with everything aligned to make a strong run and wind up in the Super Bowl. You got to go through Kansas City. Buffalo's going to be a tough out. I'm sure Cleveland is going to rebound. Okay, Cincinnati ain't going anywhere. All right, the Chargers are young and trying to become up and coming. I mean, I could go through a litany of teams and their problems, their issues, and their greatness that they're going to have to go through to get there. I just think we think that Baltimore has a nice makeup of talent and a new coaching staff on the offense that's not boring as hell running the football and not allowing Lamar Jackson to be Lamar Jackson. They will let him do his deal if he signs back with them. That's why they're getting pieces to put around him.
I've seen Lamar, you know, by himself beat so many teams. I've seen him outplay Joe Burrow in the fourth quarter to win a game just last year. And now, look, the reason Joe Burrow is that dude is because he's been to Arrowhead. He got the Arrowhead. He went to the Arrowhead Invitational and beat Mahomes. And by the way, when he lost, it was also both games by a field goal, and Burrow just took Mahomes' left tackle. It's not like it's going to be easy, and Key just went down the list. You got Mahomes, you got Burrow, you got Justin Herbert, Josh Allen. You got, like, everywhere you look, there's a killer in the AFC. You go about legit 8-9 special. Well, Deshaun Watson, you think he forgot how to play football?
I hope there's not any killers running around the AFC.
Why?
Because then they need to go capture him.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm using colorful language, Key. So what's the Ravens' ceiling? Plus, should the Packers wait until after the draft to trade Rodgers? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.